Hello, it's Mike Crivetti from Crivetti Orthopedics and Sports Medicine here in Henderson, Nevada, and this is podcast number 3. My guest today, Doug Geinzer from High Performance Providers. Say hi, Doug.
Hey, what's going on, guys?
I thought it's been silent long enough after our second podcast. I'm sure all of you know why, the dreaded COVID-19 pandemic. But I thought it's time to put a positive spin on this thing. We got word this week that Mr. Trump has approved, and his buddies Fauci and Birx have approved us to start considering elective surgeries. I'm hoping here in Nevada, we can start beginning those elective surgeries, certainly at our hospitals. There's a couple of different places where people have surgery in town, and one of them is certainly the hospital. We're all familiar with that, no matter what the elective surgery may be. But they also have surgery in surgery centers, and these are usually private surgical facilities. They often have really great operating rooms, and some of our local centers, including ours here, has a 6-bed overnight stay. So some of these bigger procedures that we used to do exclusively in the hospitals, such as hip and knee replacement, as many of you know, that's what we do here at Crivetti Orthopedics. We're able to do some of those in our private surgical facility with our operating rooms and our overnight stay. So let's talk about some of the positive things. The reason Doug is here today is because he talks to providers all over the country. So not just so we can get a little preview of what might be going on here in Las Vegas, but a little preview of some of the people that he's touched over the last couple of weeks. And certainly this week, with all the excitement around elective surgeries, Doug told me that there are 48 million elective surgeries performed in the United States every year. Think about that. It's a pretty amazing number, 48 million. So figure if we divide it out by the 6 weeks or the 8 weeks we're going to miss of all this, yeah, we're talking a lot of surgery, maybe 12 million, 6, 8, 10 million, somewhere in that number, depending on the season of the year. And talking to different parts of the country, some are busier on elective surgeries and some are not. But let's may ask Doug first. Tell us, of all the people you've been talking to, what are your docs or your surgeons most excited about as of this week?
Well, I think everybody wants to get back into the OR. That's really at the end of the day. Surgeons want to help the patients deliver a better outcome, and they want to get back to the OR. A lot of the folks that I'm talking to in the self-insured world, they're controlled. They're concerned right now just because they have a bunch of patients that are backlogged, that are in desperate need of a surgery, and they haven't been able to get that procedure done. And it's not just simple procedures. We're not talking plastic surgery. We're talking everything from cancer removals to even there are some transplants that have actually been put on hold because they haven't been able to do these elective procedures. So just as Dr. Crivetti said, we're talking there's 8-10 million that are backlogged right now. So we're going to have to work through that process right now. And everybody's working off of what they call the ESAS, which is the Elective Surgery Acuity Schedule, which takes a look at the acuity of each surgery. And they're recommending a lot of these get moved from a hospital environment to an ambulatory surgery center just because they're able to do the procedures, they're able to deliver a better outcome in a controlled environment. A lot of people are not going to want to present at a hospital that's been treating COVID patients. So it's going to be a perception challenge for the hospitals to deal with for months to come.
And let's not forget all the people that are on the front line at these hospitals and how amazing they are. And without them, obviously, this would be even worse. So it's not a matter of a hospital being a bad place to have a procedure or to have something done. It's about an alternative. And Doug mentioned the American College of Surgeons and some of the recommendations. Well, they've also come out with some recommendations for phasing in elective surgeries again as well. And I can tell you, even in my own practice, there's a lot of people that are out there that have been waiting to get a new hip or a new knee. And think about these people for a minute. If we make a decision to do a hip or knee, we've tried everything. We've tried injections. We've tried physical therapy. A lot of these patients are taking medication. So even in the last 6 or 8 weeks, we've been unable to do those procedures. the amount of medication that they're taking has increased significantly. And perhaps that includes an opioid, which we all certainly are aware of that crisis. But not doing elective surgeries, like Doug said, is not about not doing plastic surgery, but it's also about some of these procedures where people are in daily and everyday pain. My partner, Dr. Tomas Cuchera, is a pain management physician. And we've been able to actually keep up his injection schedule. He does injections for lumbar spine, cervical spine. So he really helps people literally keep going. People literally can't get out of bed in the morning. As you know, a pain management doctor also is involved in opioid prescriptions as well. He's just one of those guys that doesn't believe in opioids. He does believe in procedures like injections to keep people going. We've managed to keep that going here in our surgery center because we do think that is something that could potentially be harmful, disabling, or even life-threatening when you start to look at the number of opioids you may be taking in a day or a week. Let's talk about a couple of folks we've talked to around the country. I've been talking to some surgeons, orthopedic guys, different parts, Portland, Colorado, even the East Coast. I can't believe, but it's true, that some people have not operated since March 13th, 14th, 15th. If you remember, the 16th was when things started to kind of fall apart a little bit. But that's a long time, and I want to recognize not just that they weren't able to do surgeries, but I also want to recognize their staffs and their offices and their overhead and the quality of the folks that we all have around to help us support everything we do. One of the things I tried to do here at Crivetti Orthopedics is that we kept everybody on board, and we kept them on board because we're waiting for that minute we're ready to go so we can put those 20 or 25 people we have in the queue. Doug, what about other guys you've been talking to? Is it starting to get to be a balance between obviously clinic survival, which is the most important, and every death is a tragic life lost, versus the socioeconomic survival, like one of our nurses who's a single mom who may not have done elective surgeries here over the last 3 to 4 weeks. What are you hearing from other folks?
So it's sad. So the ASCs have begun to furlough a lot of their staff. We're now watching that even roll into the hospitals. So these hospitals, they make their money from elective surgeries. That's their bread and butter. And so they've got a double impact where they're treating these COVID patients, but at the same time, what's been filling their coffers, these elective procedures, they haven't been able to do. And so now we watched a hospital system in Tennessee furlough over 500 employees last week. That's affecting healthcare workers in a meaningful way. And these people have families to feed. They have bills to pay. So it's been an economic devastation to the entire industry.
And let's start to put a real positive spin on this for everybody, because the purpose of this podcast was to lift everybody up, not bring them down, that we're seeing an end of this going forward. So as we start to schedule these elective surgeries and call patients, you're super excited. But I agree a little bit with the statement that you made about when do you think people will feel comfortable? So they tell us we can do elective surgeries, let's say next week, 2 weeks, 3 weeks. When do you think people will feel comfortable going and having a surgery? Because I need to call these people.
Yeah.
And I need to offer them a surgery day. To all my patients out there, it'd be as soon as I can. But when do you think people will feel comfortable driving to the hospital, parking the car, walking in the front door, seeing somebody there with a temperature gauge, and having an elective surgery that day?
So everybody's ready to get back to normal life. We're arguing when is normal. I think the ambulatory surgery centers are in a very, very good position right now, just because they don't have the patient activity that you have in a hospital. So patients, and I guess it depends on the parts of the country, because there are some ASCs in New York that have been treating COVID patients. But here in Las Vegas, the ASCs have not been doing that. So I think patients are more likely to feel comfortable coming to an ASC to get a procedure done, just because they know that it's an environment that has not been treating COVID patients. But I think everybody's ready to get back to normal. And if you are a patient that's been at home in some level of pain, you want to get that surgery done and return to a normal lifestyle again.
Yeah, and I guess there's no magic time or when somebody's going to look at you and say, now's the time. You know how much pain and discomfort you're in. You know that the ASC offers an alternative, especially if you can stay a couple of days. I'll tell you, our ASC, in being private, we control that environment. And in that environment is all the CDC guidelines. I don't think I've ever seen anything so clean in my life. I don't think my house is this clean. I mean, you're scrubbing everything down. Every 5 minutes, somebody's scrubbing something. It's fantastic, right? So it makes not only the patients comfortable, but our employees, our nurses, our scrub techs, even the folks at the front desk who are wearing masks to protect themselves. And I think to prevent this thing from coming back, because what's the biggest thing, right? A rebound. A rebound's going to scare the snooker out of everybody. So everybody has a reason to avoid a rebound. Where do you think we are, Doug, in 30 days? Let's give me a 30-day where you think we are. That puts us at the end of May, coming up on Memorial Day weekend. Weather here in Vegas is going to be 85, yep. 90, 95 degrees coming up. What do you think the atmosphere is like around here?
So let's talk about, you know, some of the protocols that are being put in place. Everybody's looking for a 14-day continuous trend downward. I think the numbers that we're seeing is we flattened. You know, the cases are flat right now, so we're hoping that that starts trending down. I know myself and my family, we're all looking forward to the warm weather. Here in Las Vegas, it's a benefit that we're going to hit almost 90 degrees on Thursday this week. I've heard things that this COVID does not live well in temperatures over 74. So the fact that we live in the desert, we're all now looking forward to saying, bring on that 100 degree temperature. Another interesting thing, I was chatting with a very large employer the other day, and all of their surgeries have stopped, and they have a couple million lives. They're looking at Las Vegas because if you think of Las Vegas, we're almost like an island in some sense. There's only two ways to get into Las Vegas. You could fly in or you could drive from Southern California. So the fact that we could tamper out this COVID-19 and really manage the process is appealing to some of these employers because they have patients that live in the Northeast and the Northwest and colder regions, and they need surgery. So we're hoping to help clean up some of their backlog along the way as well.
And I don't know where we'll be in 30 days, but I can tell you it's going to be a better place than today. I walked into the store the other day, and people aren't even making eye contact with each other. People are obviously standing 6 feet apart, which is smart, but I'm not sure about the eye contact. I'm a guy who walks into a store and looks at everybody and smiles and nods my head and steps aside when somebody walks by. People are walking past each other, so I hope in 30 days people are back to friendly, like Las Vegas has been since I've been here 21 years, where everybody enjoys being around everybody. I look forward to the day where we can all go to that Vegas party again and have a ton of fun with all of our friends. But I think some of the social distancing, I think some of those things that the CDC has recommended have to continue for a little while until we know everything's safe. Because the only way this turns into something tragic again is, of course, if we start to see spikes around the country. So nobody knows the answer. Isn't that amazing? Like, where do you reference? I mean, I don't know about you, but I went around the Spanish flu. But how do you reference or what do you say? Well, this happened in 68, this happened in 82, and this is what we did back then. Correct me if I'm wrong, but I don't think the world has ever stopped.
No, it's everybody's, it'll be interesting in months to come, the Monday morning quarterbacking that will be going on during this whole process. Looking back, obviously, hindsight gets a lot better when you're looking back and able to track it. But, you know, what we were told 3 weeks ago is different than what we're being told today. This story changes every single day. And the good part is it's looking much better. And we're all looking forward to returning to some level of normalcy, even though that may look different.
I think it all starts for everybody with just a positive attitude about what's to come, how we build back, how we build, you know, our patient relationships, getting elective surgery, seeing people walk again, seeing people not be on pain medications, completely recovering, and just getting back to their lives. I mean, our saying around here is "I can again" or "get your life back again." So wouldn't it be neat on so many levels if you can get not only your knees back, but you also get your skiing back, you also get your hiking back, and you also get all the great things that come with new hips and new knees. So I think being positive is probably the start. There's no reason to Monday morning quarterback this, because there's no way anybody knew what was coming. We just measured the data day by day, and I think our leaders and our medical leaders, they have been great on looking at the data, trying to predict what's coming down the road, and I think we're getting closer to an end. How long do you think?
I'm hoping that by mid-May that we are halfway open with things, and it'd be great if we could all celebrate Memorial Day weekend in a somewhat normal state, and hopefully by July 4th we're back to the Vegas way of doing things.
I have been to the food store with my wife more times in the last 2 weeks than the 30 years we have been together. So I can tell you, I'd sure like to go out to a restaurant or somewhere else, because the food store is getting a little old. I should not know where the eggs are at Albertsons. So here's the best, a little bit of a joke to end today's podcast. We wish all of you the very, very best. Thank you.
Cheers. Let's wrap it up. It was a great. Thank you for having me here with you today, Dr. Crivetti, and let's get back to normal.
I love it. Take care, everyone. Bye.